When it comes to retirement savings and other benefits, federal employees have way better options than many in the private sector. That's one of the findings from the Financial Literacy and Education Commission. The commission presented its findings yesterday. Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp was there, and she joins me now with more. Emily, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, let's start from the beginning. What is the Financial Literacy and Education Commission?
That is a good question. So it is about 21 agencies or so, all people who have some sort of interest in financial literacy, whether it is at the Labor Department looking at grants given to states about helping Americans find jobs and incorporating financial literacy in that, or whether it is others who are focused on employee pay and benefits in the federal sector. The commission is headed by the Treasury Department. Matthew Rutherford, the acting Undersecretary for Domestic Finance, kicked off yesterday's meeting, and Richard Cordray is the other leader. He's, of course, director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, so deals with similar issues in the wider public. Just yesterday's meeting, they were focusing on federal employees.
I guess the assumption behind this whole commission is that maintaining finances and planning financial futures is a pretty complicated business in the 21st century.
Well, yeah. You know, it is. It's complicated, and this is my opinion, of course. It's complicated, and it's simple at the same time. I mean, financial literacy means knowing how to manage your money smartly as you begin your career all the way through to the end when you retire, and you want to make sure that you have the money so that you can stop working when you need to stop working, and you're still going to be okay. The thing is that there are a lot of different lots of different marketing to people. And, you know, some people, we don't learn this in school necessarily the way that we learn English or math. And some people, their parents don't teach them, or their parents don't have good habits to pass on. So it does get very complicated.
All right. So Greg Long from the TSP presented some interesting findings about young federal employees and their savings and planning habits.
Yes. Now, this is something where federalnewsradio.com covers the TSP very closely. So if you are a reader of our website, you probably already know this. But back in 2009, just about over three quarters of federal employees under the age of 29 were participating in the TSP. And then Congress passed a law to make enrollment automatic when you join the federal government. And from that moment in 2010, Long says, you know, things got better. And today, in fact, the youngest federal employees are the ones who are most likely to participate in the TSP. 93% of those who are under the age of 29 do participate in the TSP, but it's still a very passive thing for many of them where they participate because they are automatically enrolled. They don't think much of it, and how they invest is not the smartest way. They're invested in the G Fund, which is for really good just if you need cash in a short while, but not if you're going to try to invest it for 40 years. And they're invested at less than 5%, which means that they are not getting the full employer match. And the government matches up to 5%, which is actually huge when you compare it to what most people in the private sector are offered.
I think in the private sector, matching funds have mostly gone away. I remember when IRAs first came out, I forget when it was, but I put in 6%, and the employer matched another 3%, so you could put 9% away for the cost of 3%. I don't think that exists at all in the private sector. Not many places left.
Yeah, well, it's been going away. You know, states have struggled with this too, but some others still do. But still, like when you look at what the federal government offers versus other employers, it's a really good deal. And so the TSP is looking at this, strategizing, and saying, A, how do we get people to put in 5%, especially if they're at the early stages of their careers, or if they're just not, you know, the less you're paid, the more you need your money right now to pay your bills. And two, how can we make them invest smarter so that they're not putting it in the G fund? They are putting it in a life cycle fund. Which changes as you get older.
So just a review for us. The G fund is the safest, but also the lowest return. That's the one that's invested in treasury bonds.
It's akin to cash. So it's, you know, like if you're going to, and you don't use your retirement for this, but if you're going to buy a house in a year or two and you really need a whole bunch of money, that's the sort of investment that you want to park your money in. But if you're looking at how you're going to survive 40 years from now, or 30 years from now, it's not going to get you there unless you've got a lot of money there.
All right, so that so they're not investing a lot of money, and they're not putting it in a particularly high growth fund. I wonder, did Greg Long? I know the answer to this question, but did he compare the average amount of being put in the TSP with what the average young person's cell phone and cable bills are?
He didn't, but if you know the answer, you can tell us, because that's interesting.
Well, I don't know. I just added it up the other day at our house, and we're not spring chickens, at the cable and cell phone bills, and they all add up to less than my first mortgage.
Oh, wow. So, well, you should, you know, cancel it and go buy a house, but I don't know
well,
if you
except
can
you
get
can
a
buy a house for $31,000 when I first started out, yeah. So you can't do that anymore. All right, so we're speaking with Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp, and you've also reported that Congress could help out when they come to back. What's going on there?
Exactly. What Greg Long mentioned, and again, you can find more details on our website, is that Congress has agreed. It seems like there's a consensus that this automatic enrollment for new federal employees should be in a life cycle fund. Again, one that starts out riskier when you are younger and changes as you age and you need something more stable. The House and Senate have passed separate versions of a bill, and they just need to rectify it. So the Senate has to go along with the House version, or the House has to go along with the Senate version. That last part hasn't happened yet, but it seems like lawmakers are okay with this. It's just a matter of whether they get things done in Washington.
All right. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the old gray beard feds, and there's some issues with their investments, too.
Well, yeah, this was another interesting thing. The Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, which runs the TSB, did some research recently because they said they started tracking every federal employee who retired in 2012. And what they found out was that by the end of last year, so just a year later, 45% of them had withdrawn all of their savings from the TSB. And of course, you don't live just 1 year after retirement, so this was of a concern to the TSB managers. So the executive director of the board, Greg Long, he said, you know, they're still trying to figure out why people did, but A, primarily it's because they need it. You know, they don't have their income anymore. They're living off of these retirements now. But also, he noticed that they are going to different investment vehicles, things like IRAs, the individual retirement accounts that some of the rest of us need because our employers don't offer things like the TSP. But federal employees can stay in the TSP their whole lives. And so the board is trying to figure out why, when you retire, would you take your money out all of a sudden and put it in another investment vehicle that he says is likely to have higher costs to you, the federal employee or the federal retiree, than the TSP? And one idea is just that those companies, those financial services companies, do a very good job of marketing and selling their products to retirees. So they might not be the best choice, but they're convincing.
I would say that's probably the more plausible explanation, is that people are reinvesting the funds elsewhere, because if someone is really at the higher end of the federal retirement age, they're likely to be under the old CSRS system, the Civil Service Retirement System, and so they've got a really good pension. So it's doubtful, unless there's some pressing emergency need, that they would need that money the minute they retire. Certainly not 45% of them are in that position.
Right. Well, and so the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, they've done a lot of research. They're going to have a meeting later this month where they're going to officially present it, although they've been trickling out these sorts of things. But with regards to people moving to another vehicle, which they're afraid is not the smartest choice for the people, and they want to keep federal retirees business, of course, they are looking inward as well and trying to say, what can we do to strengthen our relationships directly with federal employees, not through their agency,
and
that they come to us, as opposed to seeking, you know, solace or seeking these ideas elsewhere.
All right. Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp, thanks so much for joining us. Interesting take on what's going on.
You're welcome. Thank you.